Have you struggled to navigate a religious upbringing and are unsure how to embrace your spiritual and intuitive gifts? In today's episode, we go deep on how one clinician was able to break free from the restraints and judgments of religious upbringing to embrace her spiritual and intuitive gifts. For many, the journey towards spiritual liberation is a profound one, marked by courage, introspection, and finding one's own individual healing path. Join us as we navigate the complexities of spiritual awakening, offering insights, tools, and inspiration to empower you on your own spiritual journey. So buckle up. You are in for a fun ride with this one on today's episode of the Holistic Counseling Podcast. This is Holistic Counseling, the podcast for mental health therapists who want to deepen their knowledge of holistic modalities and build their practice with confidence. I'm your host, Chris McDonald, licensed therapist. I am so glad you're here for the journey. Have you been interested in adding yoga into your therapy sessions but are unsure how? Get ready to unlock the power of yoga in your clinical practice with my recorded one-hour training, Startup Strategies for Integrating Yoga into Clinical Sessions, and earn one continuing education contact hour. In this training, learn how to harness the powerful benefits of yoga in breath to help your clients learn how to reduce their anxiety and depression. You will also learn how to differentiate between slow mindful yoga and fit yoga to tailor your approach for therapeutic settings. Get started with confidence and develop skills essential for integrating yoga into your practice, how to create a trauma-informed approach, and you even get a script to help you learn how to guide clients safely through a yoga sequence for anxiety. Transform your clinical sessions and empower your clients with the healing power of yoga today. All of this, including one CE for only $65. Go to hcpodcast.org/startup yoga. That's hcpodcast.org/startup yoga today. Welcome back to the Holistic Counseling Podcast. Today, we're diving into a deeply personal journey, breaking free from the constraints of religious upbringing to embrace spirituality and honor our intuitive gifts. So growing up with a religious framework can provide structure and moral guidance, but for many, it can also impose limitations, suppress exploration of individual spirituality and gifts. So in this episode, we'll explore the journey of liberation, navigating the complexities of spirituality, and learning to embrace our innate intuitive abilities. Joining us to talk about this is Samantha Bell Walker. She's an intuitive healer, psychotherapist, and coach. Her sessions focus on creating a sacred space for individuals to be themselves holistically, spiritually, and mentally. She invites spirit into sessions for clients to be able to release things that no longer serve them. Welcome to the Holistic Counseling Podcast, Samantha.
Hey, how are you?
Good. I'm glad you're here. And it was so fun that you came out to a holistic happy hour too.
I enjoyed it.
So I was wondering if you could start today with sharing, when did you first notice your intuitive gifts? Were you a child or an adult? How did this come about?
I would say I can recall around like 4 or 5, and it mostly would happen after attending certain funerals. I was very hypersensitive to attending funerals. And I noticed that after certain funerals, I would get kind of visited by spirits and they would just kind of hang out, talk a little bit, and I just wouldn't say anything. But I also wasn't fearful, but the anxiousness was knowing every time I attended funerals that it would happen was kind of took me aback. Because I think I learned to normalize it, but I also tried to fight going to certain funerals as I got older.
Yeah, so you knew that was going to happen. So tell me about your background and your journey with religion. And this had to go up against that in some ways, huh?
It did. Because I'm very much raised Southern Baptist, and that religious doctrine kind of somewhat encourages is individuals with those gifts, you know, are only meant for like preachers or prophets or someone connected that way. So at first it was a lot for me to even share my gifts and everything with other people. And that, you know, even as I was young, because it was something that was kind of taboo and knowing that I wasn't a person that was of a higher position in the church, it was still a lot of conflict within and just accepting it. And then there was also a history of some mental health in the family. So me kind of somewhat knowing, okay, these things might not supposed to be there. Am I really seeing this? What is wrong? And I think that's where the disconnect happened, because when I finally did share the gifts, I was made to think that, you know, I was told that I was crazy. There was nothing there. I was just imagining things. And what happened is when I was a little bit older, one that came to visit me was a little bit scary. And I kind of made note of it, screaming, yelling. They came in, cut the light on. And then I just kind of told them what happened. And then it was like, you didn't see anything. It might be just a bad dream. You're crazy. Like, because I shared it with different people. And after doing all of that, like it literally, you know, dealing with all that internal conflict, it just shut the gifts down for years.
I was going to say that. I could see how you share and then you're, you know, no, that's not real. What you're seeing is not real. It just would lead you to shut down. I wonder your nervous system too, being like, nope, we're not even going to open up about that, right?
Exactly. But especially with the, like I said, the family history of mental health. So yeah. My mom at the time, I think had just got recently diagnosed, you know, with like some psychotic features. So hearing that, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Then I was like,
so that
was
a layer.
It is a whole layer. But I'm like, you all are not getting ready to talk about me, ooh, you know, the same way that I've heard you talk about her. And then I think for me, it was even more internal conflict and resistance, because then I'm thinking, okay, is this me? Am I having these same symptoms? And I'm like, I know I didn't imagine it. Like, what is really going on? And I think from there, that kind of just, it put everything on pause. And what continued to happen throughout the years is I would still have the gift of dreams, you know, once in a while. And I think those were more accepting when I would share them with people. I was never able to see and hear the way I was as a child after all of that happened.
I just pictured like putting a part of yourself away in a box and putting it in a dresser.
Locked with like a chastity belt.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Thrown in the ocean, all that good stuff. Like, you name it.
That had to be so hard.
It was a lot. It was a lot as a child, just kind of hearing that and then shutting it down. And then kind of like really, like I said, still growing up, very Southern Baptist, attending church 2 to 3 days a week, you know, long hours each time attending. So I think it was just like hearing those things and then made to be like, okay, not only is it maybe some, you know, there was some mental, you know, me internalizing it, you know, also hearing like, well, this isn't really per se of God, or there was some kind of disconnect there. So me kind of struggling with both aspects of that too.
Yeah. So how did you overcome that and start to embrace that?
Oh, no, that's the interesting, that's where the plot thickens.
The plot thickens.
Right, that's
stay
where
tuned.
The plot thickens. Yep. I think around that time, I suppressed so much for so long. But I would say about 2017, 2018, I was just, you know, dealing with a lot of things from childhood, trying to process all those emotions and some of the things that I had went through. And I started going to like, you know, personal therapy to kind of sort some of those things out. And also around that time, I was connected for some reason. I started getting a lot of spiritual friends, spiritual, not religious, just to kind of, you know, segregate the two. And I was just hearing different things. And I was like, okay, there's something to this whole, I was drawn to the holistic perspective of things, but I was still kind of resistant. And, you know, I was discussing with my therapist one time, who is very much in tune, about Reiki. And you know, she had even suggested that I go to a Reiki session. And I thought about it and never went. And then fast forward to 2018, when my dad passed, and then it was just emotions kind of all over the place, and me trying to process those emotions as well as just process all that happened. And then fast forward, I think 2019 was when I was like, because he died towards the end of 2018, like September. And I was just trying to find healing in some form. right? Because by that time I was on a, you know, break from therapy. I kind of went back in a little bit and I was like, okay, I need some type of healing. Therapy isn't enough, you know, growing up, you know, Southern Baptist. And I was like, well, you know, I'm told not to believe in these things. I'm told that these things are not, you know, of God. And okay, what am I supposed to do if I feel drawn to them? I feel drawn to the crystals. I feel drawn to try out Reiki. And then I think I was just in the place. I'm like, something has to give. Like, I can't keep just floating this way, dealing with, you know, all these residual things, as well as now trying to process grief. And I want to say it was 2019, 2020-ish, around that time, I went and had my first Reiki session. So I did Reiki for about a year, like visiting as a client, and I would go as needed and finally get, you know, my tune-ups and stuff. And then finally, I just kind of wanted to know more. And I just kept digging and digging. And I became a regular in like doing Reiki, doing crystals. I started in my, you know, personal practice, incorporate even some like adaptogens and other herbs to kind of, you know, tell people about it from the holistic avenue, but not really digging too deep because I'm not a pharmacist or anything like that, but kind of also using them on myself and just giving those experiences with like ashwagandha and, you know, rhodiola and the teas to kind of help like soothe that nervous system as I was going through that. And the more I wanted to learn, I say about around that time between 2020 and 2021, I finally started doing, I did my first Reiki training, level one. And that's when the funk hit the fan.
Quote by Samantha.
Yes, that's when I was like, oh, here we go.
It changed
like,
it up for you.
It did. It did. It was a roller coaster.
Your energy has shifted already in this interview as we move towards. I love it so much. Oh.
It shook my world up. I'll put it like that. Yeah. But it shook it up in a good way. And I can't help but always reference, you know, even as I'm working with clients myself, literally the quote that I've used to explain it, like, when the student's ready, the teacher will appear. Right. Because I've had this, you know, I was going to this person for a year just as a client. And then I did not get ready until, like I said, like that late 2020, 2021-ish. And I went all in. Like after I did Reiki level one, the gift started coming back in stages. So the first training, I was able to hear names. Like if I was doing Reiki on people, a name will come up. And usually what will be explained to me is that might be a person they always have a conflict with, or that would be, you know, a warning for some people, you know, when the name would come up, because they, I might mention the name and then a few days later, they'd be like, oh, guess what happened with such and such that you said, or this person. And then for some people, it might've been like a loved one. So I was like, oh, here we go. I'm like, this is, it's happening again. Then I took level two and it was, yeah. Level two was different. And when I took level two training, that's when the abilities to see and hear came back like full force.
Wow. So I was finding that so interesting that it's 2024. You just said like 2019, 2020. So this is not that long ago.
No, it's not. Because even you got to think about, well, how everything was going in 2020 and then, following like all the stages, like between, you know, my dad passed in late 2018 and then me trying to, I went on this healing whole journey 2019. And I want to say being attuned to Reiki around that 2020 area, you know, was just, it was crazy. And then doing, you know, all levels. And then when level three hit, another gift came into about where I'm able, if I'm doing certain energy work or spiritual work on people, I get, you know, past life insights or Akashic record insights. Now, I'm not an Akashic record reader, but I get those insights sometimes. So if something is connected to what they're struggling with, I will be able to see the past life instance that's connected to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. But I love how it's like gradually came back and you can get into this path. Because I feel like a sadness though that you had to put that part of yourself away for so long. And just, I don't know if there was even residual grief for you with that.
You know, I think that's been, you know, some of the struggle is really working past those core beliefs, you know, around that time. With the upbringing, you know, in the church and in that religious aspect, is still very much like taboo or somewhat frowned upon. You know, I had to really work on that, not just individually, but I also had got like a coach and a mentor.
Good.
I got like two or three for different purposes because I had to figure some stuff out. And it was just trying to get other individuals who have kind of embraced that part and owned that part to kind of pour into me, because I think I've struggled with like actually accepting the gifts, owning the gifts, knowing what they are, how to use them with other people, with guidance, and kind of, you know, I'm very empathetic. So I have an issue with trying to solve the problem, but learning when it comes to spiritual gifts, you can't jump in it. You know, that's not therapy. You just can share the information. It's up to them to do the work. So having to bridge that gap.
So sharing the information. Yeah.
Just share. And they have to do the work. You know, sometimes I do incorporate like regular coping skills or tips they could do if they are struggling. But I think a lot of it too is just breaking away from 75% of what the church has taught me that I need to fall in line. And, you know, and not to say that I don't have a belief, you know, in a higher power, because I still identify with some of those things, but I've learned to accept that I can use what I'm given and not be tied to one specific doctrine that just runs everything. And I think a lot of people struggle with that because some of that upbringing is just like, no, like some of this is evil, or you're not supposed to have this gift unless it's used for this and this and this. And honestly, churches are very structured around, they're very political. I would put it like that. They're very political. And I think I had to break away from not only those core beliefs, those morals, those values, those political aspects, to just embrace who I am. I easily tell you, like, my friends could be like, I was the friend who would sit and we were going to have grace before we ate. And blah, blah, blah. Like, I was very abrasive with everything surrounding, like, religion. Like, I pushed it on the people. I forced it on the people. Like, I hit you with a Bible verse. Yes, it was just very
really.
Yeah, but I still have my little edge to me now. I'm still me. But when it came to other stuff, I would just go very hard. So I had to, you know, I had to break away from that and also learn, like, okay, you could find spirit in everything. It doesn't have to be in one place. It doesn't have to be connected to one doctrine, because it's everywhere. And learning how to embrace that. Yes, yes. And learning how to embrace it from that level has truly been a release. And I think so many people don't have that opportunity to tap into what that release is, how that feels, breaking free from those core beliefs, breaking free from something that's structured as organized religion. And it's tapping into, like, you can be spiritual without being religious. Like, you still pray. You can
still
meditate.
What's the difference? Can we talk about that?
Oh,
what is that?
Yeah.
Ooh, we're getting there.
Yeah. The difference to me is with spirit combines is very eclectic. I will put it like that. Spiritual things, spirit is very eclectic. You can still, you know, believe in God and have that belief, but you also accept that it may be God showing up in different ways by a different name for different people. You know, being aware of that, also looking at, like, you don't have to specifically just be, you know, a certain religion where you wear like the skirts and you carry yourself a certain way. You can truly be yourself without having to subscribe to the policies and procedures of what the Bible, you know, somewhat has taught you to do, but also not just the Bible teaching you to do, but also how that specific doctrine that you've been embedded in has taught you, because the two combine, because they'll give you the word that comes from the Bible. Then they'll also give you, well, this is how we need to do it. This is how it should be. This is what it says. So also accepting that interpretation is left up to the reader without you really feeling like it has to be left up to whatever other people are kind of leading you to do, and finding your own way to feel connected to spirit. Not even because for some people, spirit might not be God. Spirit might be things around them. It might be the universe, but embracing whatever that means for you individually, and then using your practices day to day to be connected to something greater than yourself, whether that is prayer, manifesting, you know, fasting, whatever your kind of spiritual practice is.
You're speaking my language.
I know. Don't you just love it?
I went to Catholic school for 4 years when I was a child. Not a good experience, even then, as a child. But from what I've learned, too, is like coming into my own with spirituality is finding it all around me. What you said, I really connect with that. Because I feel like the church didn't want you to see it in everything. It had to be at church. And that was like, for them, it's like, oh, they're going to move away from the church if they do that. But it's like, you could have both, too, if you really wanted, right? You can still find it in everything. But I love how you said individually, too, because for me, it's an individual experience. What works for me may not work for you. And that's okay, though. We have different paths.
Exactly. And I think that's the part I've had to accept, because I still, you know, have those connections with, you know, family members or, you know,
exactly,
church individuals. But I'm like, it's just not for me. That doesn't mean I'm over here like doing something evil when I'm giving energy healing sessions or, you know, tapping into those messages that I get from spirit. Right. So I think it's like, I've accepted that. Now, whether that's on them, but I've had
to learn. How has that been? Yeah.
Ooh, it was an adjustment at first. And I think that was some of the fears too, with embracing my gifts and embracing myself, because I had to learn I can still have those relationships and just not have the same beliefs. That's kind of what I had to learn to accept. So I really had to work on knowing that my purpose for being here is to be a healer, and it's not to be a healer just from the psychological standpoint, which is what I had learned to digest, you know, because the two couldn't overlap, like being spiritual and that. But in reality, I can be a healer from all angles, right? I can be an energy healer. I can be a sound healer. I can be a spiritual healer. I can also take that hat off and be a therapist when I need to. So I think it was accepting all, literally all parts of me.
I just had this word that came up, preach. Is that appropriate for this discussion?
Yeah. Oh, you clap and shout at the same time.
I know. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's just so funny though that we have so much in common. I think a lot of listeners can relate to this too, that many have been on that journey. And that's why we talk a lot on this podcast about coming out of the closet, right? Because it's a whole process. And like you said, it takes a lot of inner work to work through. And I know some people too have the religious trauma piece as well, which can make it even more difficult and turn people away from religion altogether. But it sounds like you've really tried to figure out a way to make it your own and still have a core belief in a higher power, maybe.
I have. And I've learned to accept that it's okay to do that, because I think that was my biggest thing. Yeah. Oh, okay. And I had to learn to accept the gifts too, because a part of me felt like, okay, why do I have this gift if I'm not connected to the church? You know, even as they came all back, like those same negative core beliefs kind of just flooded. And I was like, no, God has given me these gifts. I've had them before. It's not my fault that people that weren't aware or had the self-awareness kind of steered me away from it. But now that I'm here, it's back. It's like, all right, it's time to get the movement. It's time to share those gifts as a healer. It's time to heal people from different layers, not just, you know, from that specific place. Like, I have to tap into the physical, the mental, the emotional, not just from the other parts that I think I would just be looking at from the therapist standpoint. It's okay to have those spiritual conversations. It's okay to talk about some of those things within sessions to make sure they, and not just from an AANA perspective, because I think that's a lot of what I first jumped into as a therapist with substance abuse, but not just from that. Like, we need to have deeper, like, what is your purpose for being here? What is your passion? How can we make the two of those blend? If you're a spiritual person, you need to start doing it instead of sitting on it. So just a lot of those different things I think I had to learn to say to myself. And now I can help, you know, now I can help
pass
other
it
people
on.
Get there with it too. Yeah, exactly.
To guide others through that journey. But I think purpose is so important. I always ask clients that too, because that guides so much. And if people feel lost and unsure, which is fine, you don't always know what your purpose is. But if you can have those conversations and get deeper, I think that can be really helpful and powerful.
It is. And then it also kind of, it's thought provoking, because it makes them accept themselves, because I've seen that light and I've seen some of that like awakening per se in individuals when we have those conversations. And then to see it blossom and to see it foster and them kind of start pouring more into themselves. Exactly. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah. Because if you tie it back to even counseling theory, if we're going to go there with like values and ACT theory, right? So that could be tied into values. And I think some people are like, oh, wait a second. I do have a purpose. I'm a parent, or, you know, my career is important to me. Whatever it might be is tied to their values, which, you know, that might be a little more reinforcing for them to feel like they have a place in their life. And they really want to work on that and making that a priority.
Exactly, exactly. And it's a powerful thing too, just having people own it. That's the best way to describe it. Like having them own it, on themselves, on where they're at in their journey. Not saying that you got to be like here tomorrow, but just having them own it and embrace
on the journey.
Exactly, exactly.
Are you struggling with burnout and feeling exhausted? Do you always put others first? Now's the time to put you first. My Self-Care for the Counselor Companion workbook was written with you in mind. This workbook provides simple strategies that are not only practical, but easy to integrate into your busy life. Discover how to boost your energy and how to improve healthy habits for eating, exercise, and sleep. Revitalize your practice with holistic morning and evening self-care routines. Plus, get access to links for soothing meditations, self-massage techniques, and grounding yoga. Elevate your well-being and become a more mindful counselor today. Check it out at hcpodcast.org/workbook. That's hcpodcast.org/workbook today. So what kind of judgments did you come against when all this transitioning was happening?
I think it's been a lot, but I think the biggest judgment, I think, was figuring out who stood for me and who was against me, because there are people that I've been connected to that I know don't have the belief in what I do, and they don't have the belief in my gifts. And I've had to learn to accept that I'm finally seeing some of them for who they are. And I've had to learn to accept that we're elevating and vibrating on two different wavelengths now, and I can't control their journey. It's not my job to prove to them to accept all of me. It's just my job to continue to move forward in whatever relationship that has to be on. So that has created some distance between me and some of those solid friendships or, you know, family relationships, because I know that I'm just vibrating differently. And it might take them a while. It might take them years or months to get to where I'm at. And that's okay. So I think the biggest part is me just having to accept that some things had to come to an end. Some things will come back and revisit later. And just kind of accept where I was at and what my intentions are. Because I'm very extroverted. Like, I've always had groups of friends in different places. Like, that's just me. I don't meet a stranger. But I think the struggle was accepting that some people just don't believe in that. And they don't believe that I have the gift, even if I tell them stuff and it's validated. I'm like, you know what? I'm giving you free advice and you don't want to take it. That's on you. So I had to accept, like, everything's not meant to share.
That's their free will. Yes.
Exactly. I had to accept everything's not meant to share. Like, whatever I know is my business.
Everything's they don't not meant to share.
Nope. And I
that's
think
good that's to remember.
Yeah, exactly. That was another hard lesson. And to accept that friendship has changed and, you know, adjusted. And I have outgrown some of those friendships and had to really, you know, grieve some of those friendships and just look at where it's at now versus how it was before. So that was kind of hard. But I think now where I'm at, honestly, is more peaceful, because I'm like, okay.
Acceptance.
It's more like, it's more acceptance. It's more of a weight release when that does happen now.
That acceptance is freedom, isn't it, too?
It is.
It just reminds me, too, of like the LGBTQ community, too, with that coming out process and finding the safe people and the people that could really be in the same situation. So you feel that connection. And I think that's why it's so important to build that community and, you know, finding like-minded people. You know, that's the importance. So I have this podcast, too, to really promote that. And
So the interesting part is, amongst all the transitions in the years, I actually did come out as well. So it's like,
see, there we go. We got double.
Yeah. So it was like, like, I just hit everybody with one thing
you
at one time.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
And I think
good
that
for you.
Helped, yeah, I think that helped with the acceptance piece as well. Because it's like, you can't accept me for who I
you
am,
are so brave.
I'm at, and these gifts I'm bringing and throwing in your face, then you need to go. Because I just ain't got time. And I found community in other people. So I think that's helped as well. And that's another struggle with the core beliefs and the religious piece is me, for one, having to accept, you know, my sexuality, then having to accept the gifts. It was so many layers through those years that it was like, okay, I'm tired of like living in the shadows, you know, and hindering myself and carrying all this stress and all this baggage and, you know, having to deal with, you know, the chronic pain that came with all of that mess. And then when I started unpacking everything, I mean, I could care less now. Like, you gotta go. I just
gotta go.
Like, nope. If you can't accept me and my wife, or you can't accept me and my spiritual gifts, okay, then I'm okay with it.
Moving on, right?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, no, that makes a whole lot of sense too. So is there any way that you combine like both religion and spirituality? Any practices or what about for you?
Yeah, I think the way I've combined the two is through the praying and through like certain chapters and Bible verses, you know, that I've needed to find that sense of comfort or needed for some of the different spiritual practices. I think those kind of keep me solidified and grounded, you know, without having to subscribe to structured thinking and structured ways and structured morals. And then also just plugging it all in. Because what I've noticed on this journey is honestly, all of these things are spirituality. They're just from different perspectives. Like even with Reiki is just an Eastern perspective of healing the body, healing the mind through prayer, through a different type of like, they use affirmations for goodness sakes when it comes to the chakras. It's just using spiritual practices heal the body from a different way. And, you know, I also identify with shamanism and indigenous practices. And that's another thing. They're just using another way to heal the body and the mind and the spirit. They're all doing the same thing. They're just speaking different languages. And I feel like I'm just bilingual over here in spirituality. I'm going to like have a big like smorgasbord and just use whichever feels the best to me. So I really feel eclectic in that, like whatever I feel is needed for the person that I'm connecting with, but also for myself is, you know, I had to accept I can pull things from different regions of the world and still find them beneficial for me and where I'm at in my life, but also for other individuals and other clients.
How has this changed you as a clinician to, because this is recent.
Yeah. And it's been like the pet. You know, honestly, it's taken me from being very rigid. I think very rigid and feeling like everything has to fit into a box. Everything has to be a certain way. Everything has to be like, if I don't pull from this theory or this theory and I don't execute this coping skill this way, or, you know, do this intervention this way, oh, something is wrong. It's kind of giving me like an effort attitude, like, no, you got this. You're confident, you know, make it do what it do and just kind of roll with it. And so as I honestly plugged those things in, I saw a difference in my clients, in the people that are attracted to me as clients, and also the ones that are, honestly, I feel like there's been a shift since 2020, where everybody is looking to be spiritually connected because we were all in such a dark place, you know, during the pandemic, post-pandemic. So I think it's just made me myself just be more open and accepting of me as a clinician, but also other people. And I've attracted people that are like-minded, which makes a world of a difference too.
Isn't that crazy how we start to attract that too? I had one new client recently who's really, she's really like hippie-like. And she was like, I was like, how'd you find me? She's like, I don't even know. It was the weirdest thing. It was just like somehow online I found, she doesn't even remember. It was just like, sometimes I feel like spirit can drive us, right? It was
they
just,
do.
I mean, and once she started talking and I just was like, I'm just sensing that there's a connection in a past life. And she looks at me, and she's just wide. She's like, I am so glad I found you.
And it's crazy. They seek you out.
It's just so crazy. It's just, they're so, it's like a, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a big sigh of relief. They're like, oh my gosh, So we can talk about this, these kind of practices and tarot, and we can talk about chakras and, oh my goodness. It's like exactly. such a relief it. And connection. And, you know, they feel like they can be themselves too, because they have a lot of these practices and we can be open about and have these discussions, you know. So cool.
But I love it because it's just everybody wants healing. And it's trying to figure out, like, how can I find it for myself? And clients, is interesting. I always say spirit has a sense of humor because they will play around and they will send you who needs to be said to you.
Absolutely. Who doesn't at the right time.
Yeah, at the right time. Who doesn't need to be? Like, they'll protect That's you from true. That as well. Because I've had some in the, you know, I've had like one or two that have fell off when I've been, you know, really dug into some of the spiritual things. And, you know, I've gotten confirmation it is because they're not, you know, spiritual or, you know, they're, you know, elevated so low, spirit wanted to protect, you know, so I have to kind of keep in mind.
That's true.
Like I said, I'm a pleaser. Oh. Yeah, I'm like a people pleaser in recovery. So I'm like, no, why don't they want to be with me anymore? Like, they didn't answer the phone. What is going on? Da, da, da. And I had to be like, nope. So, you know, I just remind myself
it's
now.
Not right. It's, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I remind myself now it's protection. And that doesn't, like I said, it doesn't Ooh, really
That's good
anymore.
For therapists listening, too. Yeah. Because I think especially as you're trying to fill a practice and trying to get clients that maybe there's a reason that that it person's is. Not calling back. And maybe that's not a client meant for you.
It is protection. And you just let them go. Because I think once I've embraced that and I paused on trying to seek and pull so much, I've gotten the people that I needed to. They're also in the process of tapping into, you know, spirituality, their passion, their purpose. And sometimes I don't even have to ask. It just comes up. And I'm like, okay, yes, let's do this.
Thank you. Much blessings, exactly. angels. Thank you.
Exactly.
For and they always have your back, right?
all day, every day.
Yeah. So what advice would you offer to this clinician who might be coming from a background like you with religion and they're trying to explore their spiritual side, but they're not sure? What would you say to them?
That's a good question. I would say just truly, truly, you know, look in the mirror and ask yourself, who do you see and who do you want to be? And if who you see doesn't align with who you need to be, then you need to walk into your truth. Like, you need to walk into your truth. You need to speak your truth. You need to marry your truth. You need to be your truth. There's nobody that can live this life for you. There's nobody who can do the things that you do except for you. And you're going to keep being met with resistance and bumps and hurdles and hiccups until you start embracing your true self, your true authentic self, and what you came to this life to do. And if you want to live a life of fulfillment, that's what you need to do.
Mic drop.
Right.
Yes. There she goes. If you're on YouTube, you can watch this. Well, thank you so much for coming to the podcast, Samantha. This has been great.
Oh, you are welcome. You are welcome. Anytime.
What's the best way for listeners to find you and learn more about you?
That's a good one. So all my stuff is kind of under one little umbrella, the Attuned Clinician, right? That's kind of my spirit ego, we'll call it. The attunedclinician.com on Instagram, the Attuned Clinician on Facebook, the Attuned Clinician.
Excellent. And we'll have that in the show notes for listeners to find that as well. And thank you, listeners, for being with us on this journey today. This was a really fun conversation. I hope you got a lot out of it. And if you do, make sure you give a 5-star rating review. And I have a gift for you, a 30-day free Aura Meditation App guest pass to help you find peace and get restful sleep. Check it out today at hcpodcast.org/bettersleep. That's hcpodcast.org/bettersleep. Once again, this is Chris McDonald sending each one of you much light and love. Till next time, take care. Thanks for listening. The information in this podcast is for general educational purposes only, and it is given with the understanding that neither the host, the publisher, or the guests are giving legal, financial, counseling, or any other kind of professional advice. If you need a professional, please find the right one for you. The Holistic Counseling Podcast is proudly part of the Sitecraft Network.